Hey everyone, Jason Shadrick here with Premier Guitar, and we're with Guthrie Govan here at the Stephen Wilson Show in Chicago. And Guthrie is going to walk us through the guitars and the amps and all the new toys and effects you're bringing on the road here with Stephen. So first, let's start with your new Charvel you got here. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a prototype. This is actually the second prototype that's come out of my recent friendship with Charvel. Mm-hmm. The first one had a solid Koa body, so it looked great, and obviously Koa's not an easy wood to come by. For me, the Koa one had this great bark that sounded like mahogany, but a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. It was a bit more of an immediate punchy thing. Love it. But for the all-round guitar where you want kind of shimmering clean tones and the filthy overdrive, this wood combination still seems to be the all-round winner. So this is basswood on the back and bird's eye maple for the top. Mm-hmm. So it looks expensive if you look close up, but from a distance it's just kind of yellowish. These pickups were designed by Michael Frank Brown, or Braun, I'm not sure the correct way to pronounce it, but the mad scientist at the Fender Custom Shop, mm-hmm. who deals with pickups. So I just spouted some of my hippie poetry about what I thought a pickup should do, and he came up with these, and they're great.
How many iterations of pickups did you guys kind of have to go back and forth, or did he kind of hit it the first time out?
He pretty much hit it the first time around. He came up with two versions of this pickup. One was louder than the other, mm-hmm. and the other one was too loud.
Oh, okay.
So I went for this, which is more than a path, but kind of less than a death bucker. What else? And we messed around with different capacitors and stuff for the tone knob, so that when you roll it all the way down, it doesn't get too woolly. Mm-hmm. The bridge currently is no change. I've been using these for years. They go to 510, I think, but with the bent steel saddles instead of the solid ones. Mm-hmm. They probably don't stay in tune quite as well, but I think they sound better. Mm-hmm. I was raised on listening to Hendrix and stuff like that, and this is something about these saddles, they just sound right to me. So I tolerate the slight tuning weirdnesses.
And then do you have a standard five-way switch?
Yes. So we have that humbucker. We have that and this together. We have that one and that one. We have that one and that one, I think that coil. Mm-hmm. So just different single coil flavours. It all counts. And then the neck humbucker. And if you roll the tone all the way down,
it still has some clarity to it without, you know, losing everything in the tone.
Yeah. Cool neck joint for people who enjoy looking at neck joints. It's the internet. There are probably some people out there who like looking at neck joints. Here's one for you. This kind of cooked maple neck, but with some extra graphite rods inside. Mm-hmm. Just hilariously stable. This has been everywhere from Stockholm to Atlanta over the last couple of months. Neck hasn't moved. The adjustment is down there, which is very handy. Mm-hmm. But I've not needed to use it. So long may these trends continue. Massive steel frets, possibly too big, I'm not sure, but for certain bendy type things I like to have the big frets. Yeah. Like if you like doing this, again, those country bends, sometimes you can kind of hear that juddering if the fret isn't tall enough. You hear the fingertip rubbing against the board. But that doesn't happen with these. I'm not sure what else I can tell you.
How much of the show, Stephen Wilson show, I should say, do you play on this guitar?
Most of it. Mm-hmm. There's one track which is the trusty fretless, mm-hmm. Sometimes two, depending on what kind of surprise the encore has in store, and another two songs on this fine red looking thing here. Mm-hmm. Would you like to meet that?
Yeah, let's pull that out.
You grow weary of this guitar, you seek new pleasures. Jazzmaster Select HH, I think. It has a thicker neck, has the world's largest headstock, and it's kind of Jazzmaster shaped, but you can see there's some non-Jazzmaster DNA going on there. This bridge and tailpiece may remind you of the work of another noted company. Mm-hmm. Humbuckers, again, Michael's mad scientist developments there. These are lower output than these. Mm-hmm. You could probably guess that just by looking at them. And it's chambered inside, I think. So
there's not so heavy.
Something of a kind of 335 type quality mm-hmm. about this guitar. And it has this cool thing here. I'll actually show you this because I'm excited now. Also, it's got my McDonald's badge. Remind me never to complain. The challenges.
Was that really? Did you really used to work at McDonald's and that was your badge?
For a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
20 years okay. and something
like that. A memento to you know, keep you grounded.
Something like that. This one. Just a slightly more bluesy, old school, open tone. The action's higher on this one as well. If I push this, it does something like a coil tap. It turns it into a single coil effectively, but it doesn't get any quieter. I don't know how they do it, but... So, for some of the clean stuff, is it?
Do you find yourself using mostly single coil or humbucker mode on this guitar?
A mixture of both. Okay. If we're going for what Stephen calls the lonely Swede sound, I don't know, it's a long story, but... that's the lonely Swede. Which is the humbucker there with the tone halfway down. There are other moments where if I want a twinkly, kind of wobbly sound, just half of this pickup is that kind of delivers the required noise. So that's that guitar.
That's cool.
I like this one. Mm-hmm. You're a guitar magazine. I trust you've been educating your noble readers and they know what this is. This mm-hmm. is the Vigier Surfretter. This is the earlier model, hence the yellowish fingerboard material, which is called Delta Metal. They've updated it now. There's a new stuff called iMetal. Mm-hmm. And obviously everything gets better if you put the word I in front of it.
And so what track do you use this on?
What's it called? Insagentes. Mm-hmm. It's a bass koto on the record. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't figure out how to make the sound of a bass koto. So in the end, we just gave up and said, well, let's invent a new instrument. So it's this... very neck humbucker, warm kind of sound, with the flute doubling the melody.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't sound like the album, but it does sound like some weird, inappropriate instrument. So in that sense, it's in the
mission
spirit.
Accomplished.
Yeah. There are two of these. That's the pretty one. This is very much the prototype. Hence the dubious pirate lettering. You can see there are a few different marketing concepts kind of fighting each other here. We have the pirate lettering, but we also have the word monkey. I'm confused by it. The Howler, I think, is a monkey reference. Everything else is very kind of buccaneering looking. But this is a new company. It's so new that it doesn't exist yet.
And what kind of tubes are you having this?
These are actually 6L6s, mm-hmm. which is odd for me because I'm an EL34 kind of character by and large. But the challenges of this gig are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of clean tone stuff. And I think these are a more helpful power tube if you need a lot of believable clean. They're designed by Martin Kidd, who may be familiar to some of your readers or watchers as the brains behind the Cornford amps, mm-hmm. which I used for many years. So it's working out great for this gig, and it feels like home. Yeah. There's something about that way of voicing an amp, that way of, I guess, hot-rodding the Marshall starting point. Mm-hmm. Something distinctive about it.
Are they 50 watt, 100 watt?
This is 100 watt, but it's switched down to 50 watts.
Okay.
It's got a thing on the back that gets rid of half of the power tubes, and still I can only get the volume up to there. No, I'm trying to be polite on stage.
Yeah. So you're using in-ears for
yes.
your mix, and what do you find with so many pieces in the group? Do you find that helps with intonation and picking out your part, knowing when to come in? And
well, it sucks some of the vibe and the fun out of doing a gig, mm-hmm. but the payoff is worth it. The payoff is I can play fretless and know whether I'm in tune or not at stage volumes. That was never possible before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Watch the Aristocrats live DVD if you don't believe me. It was not possible before. So that's great. Sound checks are a lot quicker now.
Yeah.
I know we have a summer of festivals coming up where there will be no sound check. Mm-hmm. So everyone having in-ears really means the difference between being able to do the festival gig or not being able to right. do it. And there's a lot of projections and clever video stuff going on, so mm-hmm. we have a click running, so really there was no choice.
Yeah.
It's like, whether you like it or not, get your in-ears.
Right.
And I'm getting used to it.
Let's move over to your expanded pedal board since the last time we caught up with you. So tell me a little bit about who put this whole board together, and let's walk through some of the main features you have on this one.
Okay, the hero of this operation is Daniel Steinhardt from a company called The Gig Rig. Mm-hmm. He's a stout UK fellow, and he makes these. This thing here is a gig rig, and this is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you've got like 10 effects loops in there, and I have a range of pedals going on here, one put into each loop. So each one of these buttons, you can see these 10 things here, correspond to which of the pedals are on and which ones are off.
Mm-hmm.
So the signal only goes through the pedals that are on, which is joyous. And then this stuff sends out channel-changing signals to the amp. You can have an individual level adjustment for each of these patches. Each one of these also sends out a MIDI signal,
mm-hmm.
like from 1 to 14, I guess. So this is my all-purpose delay, and different patches have different delays. So that's kind of saving me a lot of real estate. Normally, I'm a bit scared of any pedal that's that complicated, but for this gig, it's the most portable way to solve certain problems. And of course it sounds great. So we like this a lot. I think the sound is very transparent. I'm not sure if I'm flattering it or not by saying you can't even hear that it's there.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. So can you walk us through some of the main sounds you use for this gig?
What I can't do is illustrate each pedal individually.
Sure.
Because it's all specifically set up for this gig.
Right.
But if you're curious, the main pedals going on here, that TC Hall of Fame for a bit of ambient reverb. This for what Stephen would describe as wibble, just a vibrato kind of thing. He likes his vibrato and tremolo, so that's a big part of the guitar palette required to get through this set. This thing, which sounds absolutely horrible, but in a nice way.
Is that the disgusting button right here?
Disgusting, I think, is that, and Rhino is that as well.
Okay.
I'll demonstrate all the patches in a minute. This thing I think I'm using for a couple of the clean sounds, just to fenderize it.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. If you've got a Marshall flavored amp and you put this in front of it, it somehow de-marshals it and makes it sound a bit more American.
Yep.
It's a very distinctive, different mid-range. That I'm not even using. This is an emergency pedal for when we go to South America and I can't have the Victory amp. I'm going to get some Marshall that someone built themselves. I've had this before. So that's an all-purpose kind of...
So you could say that's the opposite of the Wampler. It will Marshallize.
Yeah. And of course I never need to touch those or look at them, so they live under there.
Mm-hmm.
We will never speak of them again.
Never.
Over here, RotoSim, it's just a Leslie simulator, but a very fine one, I think. This was my most recent discovery. I bought this just before going on tour. I didn't know about these guys. I went into the shop and said, what's a really good tremolo? And they said, have you tried this? So I spent about 2 hours in the shop just playing with the reverb. This is worth it just for the reverb. Splendid pedal. This is an old favourite for me. I've been using these for years for that mid boost.
Yep.
Just a clean mid boost. It's not really an overdrive as such, but it punishes the amp, makes it work a little harder. And these, I trust, will require no explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take me as far. So it's quite a versatile. This would be classic wibble, as we discussed earlier. Different kind of wibble, this is fast wibble. Which I guess is the flint, and then if I do that. Love that. This, you'll never guess who inspired that patch, but
right.
There are times. to want a nice mush of delay repeats, that's where I go for those moments. The aptly named Leslie. It's got the breaker thing going on. You hear the speed kind of ramping between fast and slow. This is a weird one. There's some reverse delays going on. And it's quite nice for those. I need the volume pedal for this and I can't reach it, but this kind of tone. More of a pad kind of sound. This is an unremarkable patch, nothing particularly interesting about. Sort of semi overdriven, a bit more nasal and honky. But the good stuff I think lives up here. This is my all purpose kind of rhythm rock tone for that. Kind of. There's a version of that here with way too much delay. For those atmospheric moments.
So it's the unnamed patch.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a name for it.
The patch that will remain nameless.
Yeah. Now this we like. I can't even remember how. Whatever you do, something cool happens. Cool. So that's disgusting. It's reverse delay and that sound blocks pedal I mentioned. Cool. That, you can guess what this does, it's just screaming. For the lead moments, same thing with the Leslie on it. Rhino may remind you of disgusting, but you can hear some notes in there as well. So there are a few comedy ones and a few all-purpose usable tones in there. I get through all of these and we've added one new song, which means I have perish the thought and I have to use that patch, which is just raw amp with nothing at all. And that's the end of my pedal board.
Excellent. Well, quite a lot more stuff than your Aristocrats gig, but it looks like you're enjoying it all.
This is the bare minimum that will get me through this show.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Guthrie, for taking the time to talk to us.
Cheers, man.
We're standing on stage with Stephen Wilson on your Raven tour, winding up here through the States. And you're going to walk us through some of the effects and amps and noises that you make on a daily basis.
I'll try, yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about this Paul Reed Smith you have here.
Well, this is my regular tune, Paul Reed Smith, this is one that pretty much I use for most of the stuff in the gig. You know, I've been playing Paul Reed Smith guitars for about 12 years now, and you know, I'm not really, I know this sounds like a contradiction, but I'm not really a guitar player. I'm a writer who uses guitar as one of my tools. So I'm not the kind of guy who fetishizes over guitars, and I just found the Paul Reed Smiths, just for me, they kind of do everything I need them to do. They're so kind of flexible, they look good, they feel good, they have such a great range of tones, and I'm not the kind of guy, as I say, who goes out and collects a million guitars. So for me, it's just always done what I've always needed it to do.
So once you found something that kind of worked, you just stuck with it?
Pretty much, yeah. And I use two Paul Reed Smith guitars in the show. I use one that's drop D and this one which is regular tuning.
And then tell me about the acoustics that you're using as well.
Well, I use two acoustics. I use, again, one is regular tuned, which is a Babbage guitar. I don't know if you've seen that. It has the very, very distinctive fanning out of the strings across the body of the guitar as it goes through the headpiece, and that's kind of supposedly to distribute the sound more evenly across the kind of body, resonate more evenly across the body of the guitar. And I use an Ovation, which is strung to Nashville.
Oh yeah.
Which is the basically, for anybody who doesn't know, Nashville is like if you imagine a 12-string guitar, you took all the regular strings off, the six strings you left with, as I understand it, are that's the Nashville strung guitar. So it has this very crystalline quality, almost like mandolin-like quality, especially as I also use it with Capo 3 on one track, so it's even higher. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are the two acoustics I use in the show. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's walk over to your amp here and tell us a little bit about the Bad Cat you have set up here.
Well, the Bad Cat. This is a company that's out of California. I didn't know anything about them, but I was recommended them by a guitar playing friend of mine. And the amp was designed by this guy Mark Sampson, who designed the Matchless amp originally. So he went from Matchless and set up this new company, Bad Cat, and they developed this amp. It's what I like about the Bad Cat and what I use the most is the fact the two channels are. The clean channel and the dirty channel are simultaneously active. Mm-hmm. So unlike a lot of amps where you're switching channel, you're actually switching off the other channel, right, or channels. This one, the clean and the gain are always simultaneously active. So what I use is I use my G system here. I use the left and right, the stereo aspect of the G system, the left and right, to kind of control how much I'm sending to the clean and if that makes sense, the clean, yeah, and the dirty channel. Mm-hmm. So I can create sounds which use a little bit of clean, a little bit of dirty, and that's kind of unique to the, at least I don't know of any other amps. I'm sure there are some, but in my experience, that's kind of unique in terms of the amp being, both channels being simultaneously active. That's just a great sounding amp.
And you find that using both, you know, blending in the clean side gives you a little more clarity.
Absolutely.
On your dirty side.
Yeah, absolutely. And vice versa, you can have a clean sound, you just want a little bit of edge to it, you just dial in a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Just send a little bit of signal to the dirty channel too, yeah.
Excellent. All right, so let's move over here to your rather expansive pedal board here. And tell us a little bit kind of how you function on a nightly basis through all these knobs and buttons.
To be honest, my philosophy with pedal board has always been to keep it simple. I don't have a lot of, I mean, these are the only real pedals I have. These are in these four pedals here. Mm-hmm. Actually, only three of those pedals are in loops. So the G system is kind of like the main brain. Mm-hmm. There are five loops on the G system. I use one for the volume pedal, and I use one for the compressor pedal, the Karl Marti compressor pedal, one for the dual overdrive, the Boss, and one for this multi-wave distortion, the Source Audio pedal. The Option 5 pedal is actually, which is a kind of Leslie simulator pedal. Now, just to explain what I do here, the gig rig I'm using here, which is a purely relay, but I'm sure as you saw, probably Guthrie has one too, pure relay based switching system. Mm-hmm. Has actually got the G system in it as one of the loops.
I see.
What that means is I can actually switch the G system completely out of the signal path, because of course the G system is a digital processing unit. If you want a pure clean tone, like for example if I hit that, that sends my guitar directly to the distorted channel on the Bad Cat. That's bypassing the G system completely for a completely cleaner system path, signal path. If I'm on that channel, same thing, but it's now going through the G system, so I can dial in there as I have done an octave. And that's the Leslie simulation. It's also useful because the G system doesn't, well, I was talking earlier about how I use the left for the clean and the right, mm-hmm, for the dirty. If you actually want to switch directly from a clean to a dirty sound in a split second, mm-hmm, the G system doesn't go like that. It kind of goes like that. Now this was a problem for me. So that's another advantage of the gig rig. I can just, if I want to go from a clean sound on the G system that I have straight away to the kind of metal tone, that's it's a bit noisy today, isn't it? Anyway, but so there are other advantages to having the gig rig as well as the cleaner signal path. Yeah, that's it really. I mean, I have a wah-wah pedal and you know.
So how many, you know, through the course of a night, how many different sounds do you think you go? Do you kind of explore different sounds as the music suits you, or do you kind of have maybe four or five standard sounds that you switch through?
No, for me, every song is about sound design. I mean, that's what I am. I'm a producer and a writer. I'm not a musician. So for me, I'm always thinking of the sound design, mm-hmm, the sound world. So what I tend to do is with the G system is rather than having a set of patches, I actually create a bank for every song.
I see.
So for example, this bank here is for a song called Radioactive Toy, and I have quite, you know, sort of ambient. And then, you know, with a bit of modulation and a bit of delay and a bit of reverb, and then I can go directly to. So every bank on here is a different song in the set, basically. Mm-hmm. Here's another song called Pin Drop. So the G system mainly for me is the source of the delay and the reverb, and sometimes a little bit of modulation. And to be honest, every song has subtly different versions of those sounds. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in a position to just have a set of patches.
Right. Excellent. All right, Stephen, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thanks,
absolutely.
Guys. Cheers.
It's Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com.